open our hearts so that we might know with great assurance where our righteousness is found. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's the 2nd of March, 2002, and soldiers of the 10th Mountain Division of the U.S. Army are engaged in a fierce firefight with Taliban forces in the Shaikot Valley in eastern Afghanistan. Among the fighters that day is a 20-year-old native of New York, a private first class Jason Ashline. 12 hours into the fierce firefight, Private Ashline's squadron finds itself pinned down by enemy fire. While attempting to maneuver to a more favorable position, the private stands and leaves himself exposed just for a second. He's shot twice in the chest area. The young soldier falls to the ground with a thud. His colleagues, they fear the worst. For a couple of seconds, everything was slow motion, Ashline later remarked. I was pretty scared because I didn't feel any pain. What's wrong? I thought. Maybe I'm dead. But the private wasn't dead. Ashfield wasn't even wounded. Fortunately for him, he had remembered to put on body armor that day. After arriving back at camp, Private Ashfield found 2 7-millimeter rounds lodged in the armor's ceramic plate, directly where his heart was. The armor saved his life. In Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 20, the Apostle Paul reminds believers of a reality that we are prone to forget. According to Paul, we are in the midst of a spiritual battle. The enemy we face is fierce, and he is dead set determined on destroying us. Fortunately for us, though, God has provided believers with life-saving armor to aid us in our engagement with the evil one, the devil. The believer's battle kit is composed of 6 items in total, and we looked at the first piece of kit last Sunday. This Sunday, I want to consider the second piece of kit, the breastplate of righteousness. And as we'll see, this particular part of the kit is a life-saving piece of equipment. Now, given its vital importance, let me begin by explaining what it actually is. Remember, Paul is using this imagery of a soldier's armor to illustrate the various spiritual resources believers have at their disposal in their conflict with the evil one. As we learned last week, one of the resources that we have at our disposal to defend ourselves against the enemy is truth. The truth of the gospel, as well as a truthful character. Now, besides the belt of truth, God has also provided for us a breastplate. Now, the breastplate was a vital piece of combat equipment for any soldier. Made of iron and fitted over the soldier's tunic, the breastplate was designed to protect a fighter's vital organs from arrows and lances. With his heart and lungs protected, a soldier would be able to engage the enemy with a greater sense of confidence. Now, unlike your average Roman guard, however, a believer's breastplate is not composed of iron. It's composed of righteousness. The Apostle Paul gets this image of a breastplate of righteousness directly from the Old Testament, book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 59, verse 17, to be precise. You may want to turn there in your Bibles. While you're turning there, let me give you some context to this Old Testament passage. In Isaiah 59, the prophet describes the grim situation that the people of God found themselves in his day. Because of their sin, the people had suffered God's judgment. Despite this, they had stubbornly continued to turn their backs on the Lord. Instead of abandoning his sinful people, though, God decides to intervene, bringing both judgment and salvation. He promises to come to the people dressed like a mighty warrior to rescue them from their sin. A reading from Isaiah chapter 59, verse 17. He, that is the Lord, he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on garments of vengeance for clothing and wrapped himself in zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, so he will repay wrath to his adversaries, repayment to his enemies. According to the prophet Isaiah, God puts on righteousness as a breastplate. He wages war with his adversaries, dressed with this piece of equipment. Now, this Old Testament background is important to know if we're to understand what Paul means when he exhorts us to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, when Paul commends us to put on the breastplate of righteousness, he is not saying put on the breastplate of your own self-righteousness, but put on the breastplate of God's righteousness. Remember, the armor belongs to him, and he gives it to us. Now, to quote Pastor Ian Duguid, what Paul means by breastplate of righteousness is not a set of accomplishments that we create for ourselves. Rather, it is something given to us to put on. This breastplate is not our own workmanship. It is part of the armor God has given to us. The breastplate of righteousness, therefore, is a metaphor for the righteousness of God, which God gives to us as a gift through faith in Jesus. It is Jesus's armor, not our accomplishments. But why do we need God to dress us in the breastplate of his righteousness? Why is the righteousness of God such a vital resource in our conflict with the enemy? Well, because we have a shortage of righteousness. In fact, the assessment of Scripture is far more sobering than just that. We not only lack righteousness, we are unrighteous. What does that mean, though? Well, it means that we fail to do the right thing by God time and again. See, God has given us his law, which instructs humans in how to live as his image bearers in his world. God gives us his law to help point us in the direction of flourishing and happiness. We must never forget this. God's law is not the work of a tyrant who desperately desires his subservience to do as he says and thinks. God's law is actually the work of our loving Creator, who has made us and therefore knows what's best for us. Our problem, however, is that we think we know what's best for us. In fact, right from the beginning of human history, we've believed the lie of the enemy, the devil. We've chosen to do what is right in our own eyes instead of doing what is right in God's eyes. The Bible calls this sin. Sin sets us at odds with a righteous God, the one who made us. And for all our trying and all our best efforts, we still fall short of the standard. Time and again, we do the things we know we shouldn't do, while failing to do the things we know God tells us to do. In his letter to the Romans, Paul offers a devastating description of our predicament. In Romans chapter 3, verse 10, he writes, "No one is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless." While it's perfectly possible for sinful people like us to perform good deeds from time to time, we nevertheless fail to do what is right all the time. We are unrighteous. Our consciences bear witness to this sobering reality too. The full weight of past failures weighs us down. The miserable memories of our sinful stupidity continue to linger like a bad smell. If somebody played a video of our spiritual performance or produced a full transcript of our words and thoughts, we'd all run for the exit right now, or hide under our chairs like little children. Even the spiritually stalwart among us today would have to concede their many shortcomings. We are all unrighteous. And our enemy, the devil, is all too aware of our shortcomings too. And he uses this knowledge to exploit our consciences. Now, this makes total sense. After all, Satan is not only a liar, he is an accuser. In fact, the accuser is one of his names. Nothing brings him more pleasure than leveling accusations against believers. And when it comes to his accusatory tactics, he aims at where we are most vulnerable, at the heart. "You're a pathetic excuse for a Christian," he says. "Jesus, he must be ashamed of you. Why do you bother praying anyway? God wouldn't listen to you, given what you've done. God could never love you. You're a hypocrite, if there ever was one. Don't you think God gets tired of you asking for forgiveness for the same old sins again and again?" Satan is a deceiver, but he also prides himself on being a discourager too. And well, we tend to give him a lot of material to work with. The honest truth is, we are failures. We are sinners. We are unrighteous. So how then do we stand firm when the accuser throws his darts of discouragement at our hearts? Well, remember what the breastplate of righteousness is. The breastplate of righteousness symbolizes the righteousness of God, which believers receive as a gift through believing the gospel. This is the very righteousness Paul writes about in Romans chapter 3, verse 21. Directly after informing us that no one is righteous, no, not one, the apostle goes on to share the good news of how God has intervened to rescue unrighteous people. But now, writes the apostle, the righteousness of God has been made manifest apart from the law and the prophets, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. The good news at the heart of Christianity is this. You are righteous for Jesus' sake. God has dealt with the problem of your unrighteousness by suffering the consequences of your failures and by dressing you in the armor of his own righteous achievements. Jesus Christ, the eternal God in human form, came to earth to live the righteous life you couldn't live. While you might continue to transgress the law, Jesus perfectly obeyed it. For you, in your place, as your representative. And despite his perfect obedience, he nevertheless chose to die for you. The Apostle Paul summarizes the message in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, where he writes, God made him, that is Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him, that is Jesus. This is the good news. By trusting in Jesus as our Savior, unrighteous people receive Jesus' righteous record. We are dressed in his armor and are righteous in him, as the Apostle Paul says. But how do we put on the breastplate then? Well, simply by returning to and rediscovering the gospel message again and again. This is part of the reason you and I come to church every Sunday. Church is where we hear about the gift of God's righteousness. You will not hear this message on the evening news or on around the water cooler at work, but you will hear it at church. Not only will you hear it, you will sing about it too, as we have done this morning. You will taste it as well in the Lord's Supper. We take up the righteousness, we take up the breastplate of righteousness, excuse me, whenever we are reminded of the gospel message. And we are reminded of this message every week as we gather to worship. Because our hearts are vulnerable, and because the accuser longs to discourage us, we must avail ourselves of every opportunity to be dressed in the breastplate of righteousness. That is why we come to church. Before we put on the breastplate of righteousness, though, some of us may first need to take off the breastplate of self-righteousness. We will not be able to stand firm against the opponent if we are relying on our own spiritual achievements. Our spiritual achievements, as great as they may appear to us, will not protect us from the slings and the arrows of the evil one. It would be as futile as fighting in a garbage bag. When Satan comes at us, and he will, we will need something far more durable to withstand his darts of discouragement, and it's not found in you and in your track record and in your achievements. It's found in Jesus and in what he has done for you and in his righteousness. In Jesus, God has given us all that we need to stand firm. I think George Muller summarizes Paul's point well when he writes, "What have we for a breastplate to protect us?" One or another says, "We must live a righteous life." True, we have to seek to live a righteous life. But this is not the point here. The point is this, that we seek continually, as poor, weak sinners, to hide ourselves in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what we do when we take up the breastplate of righteousness. We trust in Jesus' accomplishments, not our achievements. Let's pray. Our Lord Jesus Christ, we must admit that we are prone to pride. We think that we can stand firm because of what we do or what we have done. How foolish we are when we could simply put on the righteousness that you provide for us. Lord, because of this righteousness, we can resist the evil one when he comes at us and accuses us. We can point to you and to what you've done, and not to ourselves. And so grant us grace, Lord, that we might put on the breastplate again and again, so that we might withstand the lies and the discouragement of the evil one. Amen.